practicing horns, so that's going to be neat, but guitar. We've had Kayla. She's now a college girl, but I'm telling you, what a blessing today to have a violinist. I've been believing, trying not to be partial, saying, "Why, Lord, why can't we have some of these stringed instruments?" And I think there's another violinist being raised up too, so wouldn't that be neat? Pastor gets blessed with double blessing. Now, my wife's been praying for lead guitarist, so some of you need to be hooking up and praying with her, but or some of you kids need to be practicing, but praise God. God is good, and He's good all the time. So reiterate what Pastor Mike said. Welcome you all. Good to have the Underwoods back with us. What a blessing. Good to have so many of you that set aside time and make a point. I heard a statistic this morning they were releasing in the news. They said of all believers, they said average amount of church attendance is 19 Sundays out of a year. I thought, wow, 19. In fact, there's a book out now, don't go to church, but it's not about not going to church. It's getting that religious church out of you that you see yourself as a reaching out to your community and getting empowered to be a blessing. But the traditional way of thinking, putting in our time to break that. But I thought, my gosh, the average church attendance, we wonder why our nation is in so much turmoil, and yet church life, the place where we come and celebrate so we can go out on the mission field, the average church attendance was 19 out of 52 weeks. Wow. But not you guys. Amen? Thank God, so many of you that work your hours and still make it, bless your hearts. So anyway, I want to continue on sharing with you, which I believe as we've come together to celebrate, that the Lord wants you to be grounded and founded. Now, I gave you a homework assignment a couple weeks ago to memorize John 13, 34, and 35, one of our foundational scriptures. I'm sure you all did that, whether you're listening on Facebook or in this. A new commandment that He gave us this day, that we would love one another. As Christ loved us, by this, they're going to know that we're His disciples. Everybody say, I'm a disciple. Because if you're coming here long, you're not content with just being a convert. You want to be a disciple. A disciple always looks to get stronger to be a blessing to others. That's our call. That's our mission. We loved people getting saved, they're going to go to heaven, spend eternity with us. But I am thankful that God's raised us up to be disciplers. And one of those foundational scriptures is laid in John 13, 34, and 35. That's a new commandment Jesus gave us, that we would be known by the love. Now, I titled my message something like this, you know, Gimme Good Lovin' All the Time, a song that came out in the 60s, more my era. But we are to give good love, not just to our biological family, but to others. Amen? So I was looking at this. I was envisioning this leg of a table. And I was think of the foundational principles. The Bible says, and you don't have to go to this, but says when we look at the scriptures that's written, it talks about how Matthew 7, 24 through 27, the Lord says that you must lay a foundation in rock. And who's the rock? Jesus. So we know He's the living word, but the written word is what we lay our foundation in. Last couple weeks ago when I laid a foundation, that was one leg. Now, if you had a table, that table isn't going to be real sturdy. That may be a powerful table. That may be able to balance on one leg, but it's going to need some more legs. Today, I want to give you the second leg of that table. And it's found in the scriptures of Galatians, one of our other foundational scriptures that we laid 28 years ago, Galatians 6, 9, and 10. Now I'm going to quote it to you, but then I'm going to hopefully expose it more to you, and it'll kind of carry on with what we've already learned about giving that good love unto all people. Amen? So we realize this. The Bible says, grow not weary in well-doing. For in due season, and the Lord controls the due season, we shall reap if we faint not. And then the guts of it goes into verse 10. And as a believer, you are going to have opportunities. In those opportunities, we are to do good to everybody. But we're especially supposed to do good unto those that are in the household of belief. Not just shield of faith, but if a brother or sister is a believer, we're supposed to especially look for opportunities to be a blessing in their life. Now, you can't do it without love. That's why we started with laying the foundation of the new commandment that he gave us. But I'm here to say that you are all holders of his love. Romans 5:5 says that his love was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that was freely given to us. If you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you got the Holy Ghost and he brought the package of love. And because it's all over in your life, we need to allow it to get out of our life and touch others. Amen? So we realize that's our mandate, is to love others as he first loved us. But the second part of that is we're supposed to be doing good. Say good to everyone. How about our enemies? Yep, our enemies. We're supposed to love our enemies as ourself. It is a defier of defiers because most people can love people that love them, but they have a hard time loving people that don't like them. And that's why Jesus warned us. There's going to be many because you're saved. They're going to be on your case. Look at me. Just because you're saved, don't use that as an opportunity, because the Lord said that everybody that doesn't agree with you, well, there you go, persecution, because I'm a Christian. A lot of that persecution is self-induced. We haven't always come across as a loving, helpful, blessing type of a person. And because of that, we are reaping what we sowed. Not from the Lord, the principle that the Lord put in the scriptures. So, this is what Webster, a nice Christian man from another era, said that good means this. Doing better than average. We Christians better be doing better than average. Doing what is right or proper. So when the Lord says do good to all, we're supposed to be doing better than average. And we need to be doing what's proper to all. This word is to believers, not to the world. Unless the world receives Jesus, then it's to them. So we realize that and we see that. When we finish that love chapter in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, you get down towards the end of it, last verse, I think it's verse 13 or 14. It says this, I think 13, I think that's the last verse. It says, now abideth love, hope, and faith, but the greatest of those three, and we all like faith, mountain-moving faith, we all like hope because that keeps us still in there, but the greatest of these is what? Love. And then it starts out in chapter 14, pursue it. Pursue love. Go after it with all your might. Go after it. Why? Because it's already been shed abroad in us, so we're pursuing what we already have to be released to others. Wow. So my challenge this morning is we are going to learn, and we're going to come in this celebration service, whether we're listening and watching from a distance or you're here this morning, we're going to learn how to be better doing gooders. And if you're willing to do that, we're going to take a look at what that means. Now, when we look at the stage that's been set, Jesus set the stage by taking us from the old covenant to the new covenant. He transitioned us in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts breaks out. Now the New Testament church is birthed. That's what we're part of. We are part of this New Testament church. Amen? Praise God. Acts 10:38 says this. God the Father anointed his son Jesus. He went about doing good. He went about doing better than average. He went on doing what's right. Healing, raising the dead, casting out devils. All these areas at the enemy, but destroying the works of the devil. And then he tells us in John, the Gospel of 14:12 says, these things that I did, Father God raised me up to do good. The things I do, you're going to do, and greater than this you're going to do, because there's going to be more of you than there was of me. Jesus gave up his deity to be one human being on earth with God inside him in the Holy Ghost, like what we got, one place at one time. We get to be in all places wherever our feet shall tread. Wherever our feet tread, we should be doing good. Not because I'm telling you that, but because the Lord says, His goodness has been shed abroad in our heart called love, and we're supposed to be releasers of it. Above average. Aren't you? Tell yourself, you're better than average. 19 out of 52 times people come to church, not you all. You ain't just average, folks. You're above average. You're doing that which is right and proper. You're setting the standards for the next generation. You're being the best example possible. Why? Because it's in you to do good. Amen? So, if you have your Bibles, I've been quoting scriptures. If you can turn to the book of Matthew, let me start by saying this. Where do we go and do good? Now, there's a very important principle Jesus laid out to the very first disciples that he sent out. Now, look at me. You're not the first. We're after many, many millions have been sent out. Every believer is supposed to be sent out if they're a discipler. And I believe that's us. Okay, this is something that's very important that you understand. And I'm going to pick it up at verse 5. I got a caption that says the Lord is sending out those first 12. Remember, he did good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And we're supposed to do the same things he did. So as we look at Matthew 10, verse 5, it says this. Jesus is about to send out those first 12 disciples. And he says this. Do not go to the Gentiles. Now, everybody look at me. Gentiles was a group of people considered outside of the Jewish dimension. They were considered unbelievers. These 12 were told not to go to them. Now, stay with me. And do not enter the city of Samaria. Because the Samaritans was not a part of who they were. Now, listen, because this is very key. And this is why we need body ministry. But 12, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go to that house, now before I go on to tell you what we're supposed to be doing, the reason why those 12 were being sent to the house of Israel, now look at me, is because that's where they came out of. They were in the house, but they weren't saved. They could relate with those. They could relate with those that where they used to be. So I'm here to tell you the reason why we need the whole body of Christ is because we all weren't raised the same way. And the mandate to you would be, and of course, let me finish it before I give that to you. It says this, go to the house of Israel, and as you go, share, telling them the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, for freely you receive, give it away freely. Now look at me, church. That's why you might say, I don't want to go to China. Well, did you grow up in China? Did you grow up being a traveling Chinese person? No, that's not your Jerusalem. That's not your area. The reason why the Lord sends us to where we came is because we can relate with people that are how we used to be or how we should have been acting as an unbeliever. So where do we go? We look at how was I raised? What is my comfort zone? I think a lot of times people say, wow, I just wish I could be bold like this person and go into the inner city and just set the captives free. Do you know... Pastor Sal Flores used to be the leader for 30-some years of Teen Challenge. He says, Pastor Weldon, I need to ask you something. Like all these men and women, where would you have them do most of their ministering? I said, Pastor Sal, where do most of them come from? He says, most of them come off the streets. I says, get them back in the streets. Because once where they came, they will be very effective to touch lives because they can relate with people that have been in that particular area of life. Pastor James York, a new brother that met me because he saw my motorcycle offering. He said, man, this must be a cool church because you guys have motorcyclists here. He come in, we built this bridge. He was an ex-outlaw, big guy, enforcer. He doesn't want to reflect on what he did that was not good. Taking people out, okay? That was part of his job. When he had a saving experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what area was he driven to want to minister number one? bikers. Not Pastor Weldon enjoy the biking type, but I'm talking about hardened bikers that come out of biker culture that have been damaged and hurt, and they only know a one way of life, and that's to hurt people and to take what isn't theirs. And that's the very first thing. And the good news is, he says, Pastor, I'm in this particular denomination right now, but they've just freed me to begin to minister, and I can have a biker church. I'm thinking, thank God, we need a biker pastor who can relate with criminal bikers to get them set free. So what I'm saying, do you understand why we need everybody? Why the Lord was trying to tell believers you're all full-time ministers? Because if you see yourself as a full-time minister, whatever you came out of, get back in there and you'll be effective. But because of timidity, oh, I want to be like this person or that person. You are uniquely made in God's image and likeness, and your most effective ground is going to be where you came. So the words of Jesus is, go and minister to where you came, and the Lord will be with you. Acts 1:8, New Covenant. You're going to receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you're going to have this boldness to go. And he says, go to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Now listen, you got to ask yourself, where is my Jerusalem? Where is my Samaria? Where is my Judea? Because wherever you came, that's the area that you're going to be the most effective. It doesn't mean you can't minister every place. I'm saying most effective. I used to wonder, as a school teacher, I loved to teach school. I loved to get the kids that were getting kicked out of other classes, and I had them sitting on my banisters. You've heard me share this before. I could relate with these kids because I was one of them at one time. I was raised in a Christian family. I was taught what was right, but I was a sarcastic, not good guy when it came to school and authority. And I played the games, and I shot the paper wads, and I did things that I wasn't proud of, and most every time I got caught, and I think it's because my parents always prayed I'd get caught, I was always getting punished. But you got to realize this, so that when I did go off to get a schooling, yes, I want to be a teacher. Yes, I want to be a coach because I love sports and I love to work with kids. But when I'm placed in the classroom, I was always drawn to those that were always on the edge of getting in trouble. You know why? Because I know if they get saved, wow, will they have a big impact on others. Now, most of my students probably didn't know I was a renegade like them, and that was good. But the key is you learn what's most effective. I'm telling you, church, if you would take time and wonder, what did I come out of? What were my issues being raised? See, it was real easy for me to judge others because I was raised with a godly father and a godly mother. They taught me all the things, even though I strayed. I didn't stray too far because I got caught every time I strayed. I got in trouble. And when I strayed and did things that I wasn't seeing my mom and dad pattern, like drinking, I got kicked out of things. I got kicked out of my senior year. This is a year for me to shine in the sport that I love. And I did something stupid on a bus, and I got nailed. I'm thinking, there's my mom and dad, always praying, yes, save his life, but let him get caught. Because you reap what you sow. So I got kicked out of my senior wrestling year. I got kicked out of the varsity club. Man, I was mad at people. Because a lot of my athletes that voted me out of the varsity club were also athletes that were partiers and did things as much, if not worse. But do you ever notice it doesn't comfort you to try to bring in others to be guilty too? What the Lord did was brought me to a place where I realized, I'm guilty, but I don't have to stay guilty. And thank God for Jesus, because when I gave my life to him, he not only forgave me, but he set me righteously set up to be effective, to touch kids' lives, students' lives, athletes' lives, because that was my field that I could relate with. Some of you know Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow came from a family that loved the Lord God, and his mom was encouraged to board him because, you know, that's just the thing. He doesn't look like he's going to be normal. So the doctors were on mama's case and dad to abort this kid. He's not going to be functioning properly. And most of you know, he was the Heisman Trophy winner. He took his Florida football team to the championships. He's the nicest guy. In fact, a lot of mothers started praying that their daughters would meet Tim Tebow, keeping himself pure and holy till he meets that mighty woman of God. I've got family people that were praying, oh, send us Tim Tebow. But do you know what? He is so powerful in ministering to other athletes and from the area in which he came out of. Now, I don't know if he ever was out of the Lord because I've only known him as a powerful man of God. But the key is this. He's cool. There's a movie star that got saved not too long ago, and he's the one that stars in Jurassic Park. This Chris Pratt, I think his name is. You know, if you would have said Hollywood, oh, my gosh. This guy got in front of an MTV award and said, you guys need to know God loves you all. I mean, he's as bold as all get out. And he says, and you know what? He says, the reason why you're not perfect, because you need to know you need a Savior to die for you. And it's the grace of God that wants to set you all free. And I'm thinking, I'm sitting there, I'm saying, honey, wow, who's going to reach Hollywood better than somebody that's there? Now, will he get persecution? Probably, but I'm telling you what, he's going to minister to other people in that dimension where there's very few that stand up for what's right for God. I'm telling you, God needs to save in every dimension of life. I used to, when we started hearing people say, Pastor, how come you're praying? Our sign would say, imperfect people welcome. Why are we always looking for the ones that have been drug addicts and all? Because I know if we can get them saved, they can help a lot of drug addicts get free because they've been there. But we don't want to just reach the drug addicts. We want to reach the athletes. We want to reach the inner city. Why do you think we had an African-American congregation with us for 5 years? Because as you look around, that's how we look for most of the time. Pretty pale face. Now, I was raised in a diverse culture. But when I came to Hemlock, we were all light-complected in that school system. And I'm thinking, we can't relate. So when we had an opportunity to have an African-American congregation with us for 5 years, we grew, we got stretched, we understood one another. We didn't do different things to that culture, and we found out how effective that culture was to that culture because they've been there, they came out of that, and they're setting them free. When we go down to 1 week, one street, that's almost probably 90% African-American community, and then there's probably 7% Hispanic, and the rest are the Caucasians. I'm telling you, we're going out of our comfort zone to be a blessing in a community. But trust me, we will have African Americans that have come out of there. We'll have Hispanics that have come out of there that will be very effective to bring people to the Lord. We've had a little lady. She's pretty grown, got grandkids. It's working like a big dog here on our project with Pastor Phil. Nefa, Hispanic. She grew up in that neighborhood. She was notorious. Her whole house with brothers and it got shot up, and every one of her brothers and every one of her kids were shot. She was in the emergency room, and she says, I heard the bullets buzzing by. It was gang-related. Every one of them was in a different room. She says, I got there. I didn't know which one to go to because I didn't know which one was going to die and which one wasn't. She says, I didn't understand this. I wasn't saved. All I know is this didn't seem right. And then because of 1 week, one street, she met Pastor Roy, gave her heart to the Lord, and she has been turning that neighborhood. She's an enforcer. When she walks around, the gangbangers see her, ooh, respectful, because all they know is this person's a no-nonsense person. She's not moved out of the area. She's got relatives in that area, and she's so excited. In fact, I thought she was coming today because she's now discipling a grandson that she wants in this kind of environment. Until Pastor Roy gets a little bit bigger where he has children ministries. But she's effective. Aren't you glad that everybody gets set free, doesn't move away from where they grew up? Because where we grew up is where you're going to be most effective. That doesn't mean it has to be your hometown, but it's what you come out of. All I know is we got a lot of nurses in here, so I got to believe there's going to be a whole lot of nurses getting saved. Because so many of you are in that particular area. My wife worked at Dow, and she could relate with the Dow folks. And she was very effective. She wasn't a pastor. She was just a saved minister, just witness. They had Bible studies going on all the time when you're sharing. She was having me go over, and we're praying for people, people getting saved. I opened up my house. Here I am, a school teacher. I live out in Marion Springs. This is, oh, man, there are a bunch of rednecks out there, man. They like worship Satan out there. There's dogs that are getting butchered. What are you doing out there? All we did is begin to pray, but I could relate because most of the neighbors were good folks that we had to get out and meet and find out who they are. And it ended up that after a while, when they realized we're for real, they love us. And I never saw a rattlesnake once. We never have. My wife goes through the tall bush, and she's making a lot of noise as if it's going to scare them. Garter snakes, yeah, no rattlesnakes. No butchered dogs. We love dogs. But the Bible says that when you get planted, God planted us out there. I had teachers, I wouldn't live anywhere near Marion Springs. And they tell me the horror stories of waitresses disappearing and all this. Yeah, I'm sure. But I can relate. I was raised in the country. I was raised in that environment. So we just begin to go around the community and pray in the Holy Ghost and believe God. And we opened up our home. We had over 50 people come in and get saved. Some of these were gangsters before. They're down to our bar getting in fights and fighting one another. After they get saved, they're watching Kenneth Copeland on TV or coming to our cell group. But I had to come to realize this. I'm most effective in my turf. I need others in different turf to be able to relate with those in different turfs. And that's why we need church. Amen. And that's why we need you with all your backgrounds. Because from whence you go, the Lord says, He sends us out. We know He said, go and make disciples. Amen? So the next time you're feeling sorry for yourself, talk to Ruthie. Ruthie will give you Romans 8:28, and she will tell you all things work together for good to those that, what? Love God and are called according to His purpose. So no matter how much hell you were raised with, if you will allow the Lord to strengthen and raise you up in this new light that He wants for all of us, you will be very effective from where you came. Whatever fears, phobias, hurdles you will overcome with the Lord will be those that the Lord will allow you to help others overcome. See, I believe many of you have gone through some real tough times. Many of you have gone through horrendous divorces. You can look at it as half empty and, oh my gosh, I don't want a man or a woman in my life anymore. Or you can take what you've learned and grown with and help others that are facing that same attack because you understand. You have grown now. Last week, if you haven't listened to Pastor Mike's on fathering, for the bridge that he laid with not having a physical dad very often, in fact, after three or whatever in his life, pretty phenomenal that he can get saved and he can learn the principles and want to go back now and minister. Any fathers get ministered to last week? Yes. It's because that's from where he came out of. When you can relate from where you came, you get the tools to know how to use them to help people get freed. And if your job isn't to free in others, we're missing the mark. This isn't condemnation. This is reality. You got all the tools. You come to church to learn how to have practical ways of using the tools that you already got. And that's why we say, you get saved, you're a full-time minister. And God wants to use you and set you free and raise up those around you. The Tim Tebles and the Chris Pratts and whoever you want to put on a pedestal, they only come out of one area. You'll be affected. I talked to Rich. Rich wasn't a believer for a long time down in Dearborn and teaching principles to Muslims, which is a high percentage in them. And then he gets this relationship of the Lord built, and now all those tools can be used to help impart to others, to help them get free instead of continuously stumbling and ending up with the same results. Even to the point sharing that years after praying for his family, after this happened, they finally came to the point that they want what he's got. And what do we got, church? It's Jesus. We've got Jesus that we freely got and that we should freely give it away. So, I want to wrap up this morning by giving you four areas that you should be doing good in, because these are your areas, not mine. The first area is where you live. Did you hear Pastor Mike when we were talking about the blood thing? Do you know that when we sit in meetings, we're always saying, how can we bless this neighborhood? We're not talking about getting them to our church. If they want to come, that's fine. We're talking about how can we be a blessing to this community. Do you know when I peeked in the tail end of these two executives from the blood bank? We don't want to lose you. You're such a blessing to this area. I'm thinking, isn't that kind of cool to know that your church is a blessing in this area, whether people go here or not? We possibly can save 1,200 lives, and we don't know who they are, but just the part of being a blessing. So my challenge in the men's group this week, my challenge is to you, if you move away from where you live right now, would you be missed? Would your neighbors say, oh my gosh, we lost the Townsends. Oh my gosh. In other words, the Bible says every place your foot treads is what? He gives it to us. If we do not have a good testimony, it's not God's fault. It's whose? It's our own. We are responsible for our neighborhood. My wife and I have tried to meet and talk to every neighbor that we have. We have neighbors that will stop when they see me out in the woods trying to pull a tree out or something. They'll go down and get their tractor and pull it out for me. We'll never. They would die before they would let me pay them anything. 2 weeks ago, a newer neighbor, he's a lot younger guy, he's been married, and we say hi and bye in passing. He pulled up to say, Weldon, did you know there's a truck on your property? Are they messing around? Are you okay? And all that. I said, thank you. I'll go check it out. Went down, checked it out. Some truck broke down. So I pulled up in the yard, and he'd already gone to work. He works at the semiconductor. I says, talk to the wife. I says, boy, good to see you. Thanks for being concerned. And we exchanged even deeper our numbers. So if we are able to be there, to be a blessing. I mean, when we first moved out there, because we always had put this big cross above our property, it was coming back. Oh, man, don't go by that house, man. They're sacrificing animals back there. We got part of it. And then one of Tom Rattano is not with us anymore. He's with Glory. But he went by one time. I'm out front. And we had a car. And I'm walking around. And I'm saying, car, you will sell in the name of Jesus. I call. He says, they're crazy. They get out front and they talk to their vehicles. And of course, they would sell. And so that, but then when you begin, my wife then, I'm going to run for township clerk. You are? Oh, yeah, great. She runs for it. She's in every nook and cranny in Marion Springs talking to every person. She won versus somebody that was known in the whole area because she went and met and talked to everyone face to face. She wasn't threatened. Wherever your feet shall tread, I am giving it unto you. She won. Little old ladies that never got out of their trailer said, well, I'm going to get out this time. I've never voted in years, but because you would make the journey come way back here in this particular place, not be fearful, I'm going to come and vote for you. And someone says, well, that's Pastor Kathy. Every one of us that have given our lives to Jesus have the same Holy Ghost, and we all have a certain neighborhood, and we should make a difference where we live. And my challenge to you is, if you moved, you should be missed. You should be regularly praying for your neighbors, praying for the business around, like we do here at church. We pray for the businesses. We pray for the farmers. We ask God to bless them. Not that they come to Shield of Faith, just because it's right thing to do. We're above average in doing good. Ran into Dr. Manzoni. He was in there, a couple students from years ago, didn't recognize him, and they ran into us. Oh my gosh, Mr. Townsend. Oh my gosh, it's good to see. Oh my gosh, I still got my, oh, I wish I'd have got prettied up and not had my glass, not wearing my glass. I'm thinking, I don't even know who you are. And I'm thinking, to have an impact, that you run into people that you cross your path, not because you're a pastor, it's because you care and you've been doing good to others, and because of that, people enjoy being around you. So my challenge is not condemnation. My challenge is, if you don't know your neighbors, get out and meet them. Yeah. Take them some cookies. Take them something with no strings attached. When we talk about blessing the neighbors here, we can have a car wash or whatever. But I said, Pastor Mike, if we have a car wash, I don't want a bucket at the end that says, okay, now you can give us some donation. Because that's not free. No one's going to feel right coming in for a car wash without having to. We want to be a blessing and not have to receive anything. This blood thing, we get paid a couple times, but most of the time we're giving blood. We get nothing in return except the satisfaction we're doing above average to bless others and might save a life or two. That sounds like Jesus. So the challenge, number two, where do you work? I've had this with pastors all the time. I said, pastors, if your congregations would see themselves as full-time ministers, we would be putting full-time ministers in every shop, every school, every business. You know why? Because where they go, if they see themselves as a minister, they're looking to do what? Minister. Can you imagine how we could save Saginaw if every believer saw themselves as a minister, a full-time minister, doing good all the time, everywhere? Doesn't mean we don't stumble and say stupid stuff or end up doing something that's stupid. We get back up. Righteous man and woman falls many times, but they get back up. And we're not too big to say we're sorry if we hurt someone's feelings and get back at it. Your area of work, people should enjoy being around us. Because when they're around us, there's a peace. Because the peace that passes all natural understanding is on us. And when we're into other people's lives, it gets out of us and it touches them. Way before we were in the ministry, teachers, coaches, students, classmates, my wife, Dow executives, employees, workers, custodians, they all loved her because she didn't act like she was above anybody. That's how we're to be in our workplaces. And that kind of fulfills one. The goodness of God is what causes us to want to bless people. He loves us. Where you play or hang out is a third area. See, when you play sports or you go someplace to celebrate, have a party, do you lay down your Christian dome? Do you put on a different Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde when you go places because now you're going to kick back and enjoy yourself? If you do, take off the mask of hypocrisy and be the real you. Will the real you enjoy your life even when you're having a good time? Because I'm here to test that I party for Jesus and I'm the same person that you see now wherever we go. And that's what God wants us to see ourselves. Wherever you go to have a good time, you don't leave Jesus at home. Amen. You have a good time. And you're a witness and you're a blessing. And they get to see the real you. Do they know in your play areas, do they know that you love God? I'm not saying because you're taking your Bible and you're preaching to them. Do the places where you go and entertain yourself, do they know you love God? And it's not because you're telling them you love them, but are they seeing it in our fruit? Remember, we're disciplers, and we're looking to get discipled so we can be stronger when we leave here and have practical applications of how to take Jesus to those around us. And the last, which should be the easiest place to do good, do above average, it's where you worship. When you come to church, are you really in love with your church? Let me get real with you as I close with this. Do you love your church enough that when someone hurts, you hurt? Do you love your church enough that, you know what? What can I do to bless this body? I was challenging the men in our cell group. It's real easy to come and get things, but are you willing to help others? I said, my wife takes turns in the children's ministry. Pastor Mike takes turns in the children because they can't wait to get. No, it's because they will sacrificially do that because they love you and they love your kids and they don't want anybody to get burnt out by being too hard. I used to rally and I tried to get, I tell Pastor Colleen. I says, if I could get where people would only be in children's ministry 1 out of 8 weeks, wouldn't that be great? Yeah, yeah. And I get it signed up. Second, when it push comes to shove, people back out, don't want to, because again, it may inconvenience you. I'm saying you have an opportunity to do good, especially to those that are believers. My challenge is this: do you love this church body? And if this is just a place to put in your time because you think God loves you whether you come to church or not. You don't have to come to church for God to love you. He doesn't even love you more if you come to church. He wants us to because he knows we'll get stronger and we'll be more effective in other people's lives because we'll learn principles that are practical like this morning and how we can be a better person to our neighborhood, how we can be a better person at our workplace, and how we can enjoy and have a good time and we don't have to get high on anything but Jesus. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost and my wife at 24 and 25, we didn't need any alternative ways to get loosened up because we got the Holy Ghost. Haven't had any alcohol or anything touch my lips since 25, and I'm thanking God because I don't need a high. I got Jesus. And he, and some says, oh, Pastor, you're always having a good time. Yes, and I don't have any side effects in the morning except I get up another glorious day, Lord. Do I lose it sometimes, PK and I get into arguing? Sure we do, because this is reality, but we can say we're sorry. This weekend, our date day, we always have a date day, Fridays. My team here knows that, so they try not to mess up. We go places that we don't run into too many people, try not to mess up and give me too many disturbing phone calls or whatever. The church is on fire. You got to come back. I use your words, Steph. Hey, it's not mine. It's the Lord's. So just, so we, Saginaw News had this that showed all these places around the thumb. I says, honey, let's just escape to the thumb this weekend. So we took this paper and we tried to hit as many places that they identify. It wasn't crowded. You can go up in the thumb. It's never crowded up there. Those kids are out. This is summer. We went up. We stopped some stair-step tree, took pictures of it, and realized we couldn't climb it as easy as it looked. Reality set in there. I says, honey, you go ahead and try here. I don't want to fall off that level. Then we ended up going to this coffee place, and we ended up getting there. The owner beside it had a car place, and we're trying to get on our way, and he wanted to show us his cars, and we went in there, and we saw his cars, and all we said was, hey, you know, before we leave, you've been so generous, can we pray for you? Oh, my gosh, I need to go get my better half. And he left everything. And this guy is, what, seven, early seven? Oh, and he got his better half there. And they said, let's pray with both of us. Took us in their inner kitchen where they cook. And we had a glorious time of just praying and loosing blessings on this establishment that Lord. And he's, oh, my gosh, I have goosebumps and I feel so good. That's because God gets off us, people. We got God himself called the Holy Ghost that goes where we go, and people are yearning to be encouraged and strengthened, and we have opportunities. Stop letting them get by you. Because you'll be blessed when you see how blessed they are, because we can take stuff like that for granted. Amen? Foundation scripture number 2 on our table. We got 2. Doing good to all. Especially believers. I believe everybody in this room is a believer, so we should be looking to do good to all. Please, church, stop walking around with chips on your shoulders. If someone says something that hurts your feeling, either put your shut-up face on or just like Jesus, hearing but overhearing. Let it go over your head. Hurt people, but don't take it personal. Take it as an opportunity. I forgive them. And get up and don't let anybody steal your joy or your peace. I refuse to give it up. And so should you, because it's kingdom. Amen? Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you that you've raised each and every believer that's here and also that's viewing on Facebook to be a discipler of you. Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Ghost that you will begin to strengthen, and in the areas of weakness in my brothers and sisters' life, you will equip them and put a foundation that they will turn around and help others that are struggling in those same phobias, those same fears, that they will be releasers of your kingdom to go and to tell others that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, because freely you have received, freely give it away. And Father, right now, as this church is praying for everyone that may be listening and that's not made Jesus Christ their Lord, the most important decision you'll ever make is taking that moment. You don't have to make a sound the trumpets. Just in your own way, say, Jesus, I need you. I need you as my Savior. I've played church life, but I want a real Savior now. I give you my heart. I believe you died for my sins, and I invite you to come in and be the Lord of my life in Jesus' name. And if you're viewing, I encourage you to get connected to a good church that will encourage you and strengthen you and give you opportunity to have a family of God to love on you and that you can love on. And we give you the praise and all the glory. And all of us in agreement said, amen. Amen. Now, this is your homework right now. You can do it before you leave. Do good unto all, but especially those that are here today, because they're from the household of faith. Love on one another. Thank one another for coming. Some of you that get all your kids, some of you that make a point to get them all here, thank those parents. Tell them, I know it's not easy. Thank you for getting all your kids in church. Some of you, I know Tammy said she didn't do her 12s. Some of you that work the 12s and you still make it to church, thank those people that are putting a priority. Thank them. They need to hear it because another man's lips needs to praise you. It's a blessing when you sacrifice and reach out and do that when you don't even feel like it. Amen? Here's your ground. There's your testimony area. So go love on one another and then make a difference this week where you live, where you work, where you play. Amen? Amen. God bless you.